To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Not what my hands have done can save my guilty soul. Not what my toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Not what I feel or do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers and sighs and tears can bear my awful load. Thy grace alone, O God, to me can pardon speak. Thy power alone, O Son of God, can this sore bondage break. Reading from Hebrews chapter 1, God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, by whom he appointed all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and the upholding of all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. So far we read God's holy word. Let's come before him in prayer, giving thanks for what we are told here about Christ as prophet, priest, and king. He is the prophet teaching us, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, and he is the priest, and by himself purged our sins. He is certainly a king, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Let's pray in his name to the Father. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ. We come giving thanks in his name for every blessing given, and we give thanks especially for the blessing of salvation that we can have from thee, that we are no longer be the children of wrath, but children of thine, by faith in another, even in Christ Jesus thy Son, of whom we have read here, that when he had purged our sins, he sat down on thy right hand, even the right hand of majesty, and we believe he is there now. We pray, Lord Jesus, thou wilt make intercession for us, and call to the Father that the Spirit might be given, even the Spirit of truth, that can lead into all truth, that can take the things of thine and show them to us, of both thee and the Father. Thou hast said, This is life eternal, that we know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. Help us to see Thee today as the Creator, as well as the Savior, and that we know that Thou art the one who has created all things, and that we may bring our nation and the church back to, again, believe that, and not go on with a lie of evolution, which so many are propagating. We pray, Father, that we might realize the wickedness, that we are not giving Thee glory as the Creator, because Thou art our Creator, and alone has created all things for Thy glory. We'll see it in the different Scriptures, as we look at them throughout the whole of Scripture. Thou dost manifest Thyself as the Creator and the Sustainer, and we pray that Thou wilt lead us in those Scriptures in a right way for Thy glory and for our present and eternal good. We pray for the spiritual blessings first, for the temporal blessings that are needed by those in injury, sickness, hunger, persecution, war, all the calamities that are there throughout the world. We give thanks for the blessing that we have. Others that do not have them, we pray for them, and we pray for the means used for their help, all through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. Looking again at a number of different Scriptures that tell us of God as the Creator. We have done that now for a few messages, and we want to continue to do it another time. Our last message, we ended with looking at Jeremiah 27, verse 5, where God says, I have made the earth, and the man and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power, and by my stretched out arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet to me. And as we mentioned then, God asked Job if he could do those things to the animals that God alone had done. Now we want to move on to Daniel, chapter 5, verse 23. Here, Daniel is speaking to Belshazzar. After God had written on the wall that only Daniel could interpret, they had called for Daniel, and he interpreted it. And the writing was, Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Because of that, Daniel said to Belshazzar, The God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? He explained to him how Belshazzar knew all this, of what had happened to his father Nebuchadnezzar, and he should have known, but he did not learn. And here Daniel told him these words, and we know that the same night Belshazzar died. Then going on to Zechariah, chapter 12, verse 1, The Lord which stretched forth the heavens and formed the spirit of man within him. Zechariah was a prophet with Haggai to the captives that came back from Babylon with Ezra and Nehemiah. Zechariah not only was a prophet to the people at that time, but he was also a prophet for the future. In this same chapter, chapter 12, later on, there he quotes the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus is stating what he is going to do to the Jewish nation and the Jewish people. He says, I will pour on them the spirit of supplication, and they shall mourn after me whom they have pierced. Then he describes how they would all mourn toward and for Christ, whom they would then realize they had pierced. So Zechariah gives much prophecy of what is going to happen in the future, both to Judah and others, and speaks of both blessing and judgment. Here he is describing the Lord, which stretched forth the heavens and formeth the spirit of man within him. He did both, the natural things in nature, and also the spirit that we have in us. Then going on to Malachi, chapter 2, verse 10, Have we not all one Father? Have we not one God who created us? And that is true. Everybody has God as Father in nature, and God is Father in two different ways. One is to everyone a Father of creation, a Father of the natural ways. It's in Him that we live and move and have our being, as Paul would say, and as we'll soon read from Acts chapter 17. He is only the Father of believers through Christ. Then we read, we are the same as Abraham, who believed in God through Christ, the coming of Christ. The Lord Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and was glad, And if we are in that way with Abraham, seeing the day of Christ, we have to look back. Abraham looked ahead. How thankful we can be that the Lord Jesus came down to earth, took on him the form of a man, and went to the death of the cross. Because of him, he has been given a name which is above every name, that at his name every knee shall bow. The Lord Jesus is that Savior, but also, as we'll see a little later, he is one with the Father as Creator. Here we see the question asked, have we not all one Father, and hath not one God created us? We need to see that we're all the same in that way. We're all sinners before him. We all come short of his glory, as did Belteshazzar and all of us together, as we can read in Paul's letter to the church at Rome. Are we better than they? In no wise. We have together become unprofitable to the God who is one Father to all of us. Going on to Acts 17, where Paul is speaking to the Athenians. He has come there to Athens, and he spoke to them of the gospel. They wondered, what new thing is this that you bring? He had brought them the gospel before this. Now they gave him audience on Mars Hill, and he spoke to them out in the public. And he spoke to them of creation. God that made the world and all things therein, he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. In him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are his offspring. There Paul was addressing the Athenians. As we can read in that 17th chapter, they gathered together to know some new thing, and they were evidently a learned people, even though Paul said they made an idol to the unknown God. He said, the one that you ignorantly worship, him I declare. And here he describes God as Creator, made the world and all things therein. Also, when he comes to the end of his message, he speaks of Christ as coming again and judging the world. So, we need to see that he preached the gospel, but also preached God as Creator and Sustainer. In him we live and move and have our being, all, each and every one of us. Here he is giving the same message as he did by Malachi, have we all not one Father? We need to see that red and yellow, black and white, all of us are made of one Father, God, and all of us must again be made anew by God's Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Paul here addressed the people, earlier speaking of the resurrection of Christ, later speaking of the judgment of Christ. We may believe that he was there in Athens, even though there's not much told us of his message, that he preached the whole counsel of God, and part of it was God that made the world and all things therein. What a sad thing that so many don't believe that in our time today, that we deny creation and that we promote the lie of evolution. We are dishonoring God, and we will come to judgment for it. Already, as Paul said in Romans chapter 1, when we do not give God glory, our foolish heart is darkened, and we are there. We show it by what our homes are, what our schools are, what our government is. We are in the dark, and we cannot see rightly that light which is in God and in Christ. And if we did see it better, we would do as Christ said when he spoke to Nicodemus, everyone that does evil hates the light. And so we have two problems. One is our ignorance, and the other is our hatred and our unbelief. And we need to come to repentance toward God, the Creator. And we need to come in repentance toward God, the Lawgiver. And we need to come to God as also the Redeemer in Christ. We need to come submitting. Isaiah said, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And what a blessing that is. My sins are scarlet. Terrible, terrible, terrible they are. Can be made as white as snow. David spoke of that in Psalm 51, as well as Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 1. Then going on to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. Now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it pleased him. And God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, and that there should be no schism in the body. I preached from this once, at the funeral of a girl that was mentally quite weak, but she was a wonderful girl, and she outshone others in many different ways. And so, because of it, we gave her much honor, that she did what others did not do, even though she was weak mentally in some areas. God gives that body. Going on to 1 Corinthians 15, the chapter that speaks much of the resurrection. God giveth it a body as he hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. He uses the seeds of the crops as an example there in that chapter. God is the creator of that also. I was looking at a description of seeds. All the corn, every ear has even amount of rows. Every watermelon has an even amount on the rinds. When it comes to bananas, one row is even, the next row is odd, and all of that is there. God has this order in creation. It's amazing when we follow it. Then Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9, we have as fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? We have talked about God as the Father to all of us naturally, and here it speaks of the Father of the spirits. When he becomes the Father of our spirit and gives us the Holy Spirit, the new birth, then he begins to teach us, and we need to be in subjection. And as we can read, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Also, the warning, if we're without chastisement, then are we bastards and not sons. God knows what we need. As we sang the song, not what my hands have done can save my guilty soul. We need to have what God does in everything, in teaching us and in giving us Christ as our sin bearer. Here we read once again, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more be in subjection to the Father of spirits? God is the creator of us in our natural way. He is also the creator of us in the new birth. He gives us the new birth by his Spirit. As Christ said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That is the work of the Father of the Holy Spirit giving him to us. Then going on to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. There Peter sums it all up. God is our creator naturally, and God is our creator spiritually, making us new creatures in Christ. Peter is telling us to commit our souls to him as the faithful creator. As I said, creator of both natural ways and spiritual ways. And we commit our souls to him because he is a faithful creator in all things. And especially in our area, we have had so many blessings from our Creator. Not everyone has that. The judgments that have fallen, and earthquakes, and different calamities of nature. But we have been so blessed, and certainly he has been to us a faithful Creator, and especially when he makes known to us what we are thinking about today, of him as our Creator, learning it, believing it. I want to warn the many that may not believe it, that are following the theory of evolution, following the lie of evolution, that the world is billions of years old, and it's been taught in our schools My grandchildren were taught it, and it's not true. It's a lie. It's a foolish lie. Evolution does not coincide with God's nature in heavens, declare the glory of God, and all the different ways we spoke of it before, light and dark, summer and winter, all the seasons. That doesn't coincide with evolution, only God's creation, and He is the one that has brought it about. He has brought about it, and cold and heat, He says, will not cease until Christ comes again, summer and winter, seed time and harvest, and we have known that for every year since God created the heavens and the earth, and He is our faithful Creator. And faithful Creator also in creating us anew in Christ Jesus. And we will see some more of that. And now we want to go to Christ being the Creator. We read of Him as Creator in John 1, verse 3, the Gospel of John. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. Very definite statement. Nothing made without Christ. As we read from Hebrews, that God made the world through His Son, and has spoken to us by His Son. And we did see that. Then going on to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, but there is but one God and Father, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. And as we read there in Hebrews chapter 1, God made the worlds and spoke to us by His Son in these last days. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. When God tells us about things that He did, He also wants to remind us and bring to our attention that He is the God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Very plain language that is to be believed. And what a terrible thing if we don't believe it. All through Scripture, as I've said before, probably hundreds of different Scriptures that refer to God as Creator, and this is one of them. Another one that we read earlier, and I'll read it again, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. And Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of Thy hands. So plain. So many times He tells us, and the heavens itself declare the glory and power of God, as Paul says in Romans 1, so we're without excuse. Then, going on to the other things that we need to know about the life of Christ, we not only have God as Creator, but we have God as Sustainer of our life, both natural life and spiritual life, is from God. Not only has He created the heavens and the earth, as we read so many times, but He has created man. We can read it in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Also, Moses' words in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord doth man live. We live by what God ordered in creation, and we live by the word that He has spoken. As we read here, the Lord Jesus repeats that word when Satan tempted Him, that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. Every word. Part of that is the word concerning creation that we must live by. And if we refuse it, we are refusing God who spoke it. And it's a terrible thing. And many do. Many do not want to acknowledge creation. And part of the reason why we are giving these messages is that we want to again show from so many Scriptures that declare that God is our Creator. And I want to emphasize it, and I want to warn against the lie of evolution. Going on to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God and that thou mayest obey his voice, and thou mayest cleave unto him. He is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Not only did he begin creation in the beginning of the world, but he upholds all things by the word of his power, and he orders all things. And part of what he ordered was to the descendants of Abraham. He promised much to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give them as a special nation of Israel. And we can read that God made his name known by forming Israel, and made his name known by forming Jerusalem, and he makes his name known by the promises that he gave to Israel. We do well to look at them. There are both promises and warnings. God has blessed Israel above other nations in many ways. He has also punished them very, very severely. As we mentioned earlier, the prophet Zechariah was the prophet after they returned from the captivity. During that captivity, Jerusalem laid in ruins, and Judah laid in ruins. Daniel said, nothing has happened to Jerusalem in the terrible judgments that God brought upon them. He did what he says, and we read it a little while ago from Hebrews, whom he loves, he chastened. And so he gives blessing to Israel, and he gives chastening to Israel. And he has many promises for Israel that will be fulfilled before the end of time, and we do well to believe them from the scripture, as were spoken of by the prophets in the history of Israel, and spoken of by the apostles as well, especially the apostle Paul, when he speaks of the future, a blessing of Israel in Romans chapter 11, and you do well to read it and pray it will come. We are told by the psalmist to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 6, the Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. All of our life is in his hand. The psalmist said, thou knewest me before I was formed in my mother's womb. He brings death and he brings life. Everything is in his hand. Going on to Job chapter 27, all the while my breath is with me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. We have both the natural life and the Spirit of God that gives us life eternal and begins teaching us in the way to prepare for it, and giving us what is called the new birth, or called being born again by the Spirit. All of us have life from God naturally, but each of us need life spiritually if we are to see the kingdom of God, if we are to enter in the kingdom of God, if we are to be reconciled with God through his Son. And oh, how we need that. Do you know you need to be reconciled with God through Christ? No other way. Without that, we are children of wrath. In Christ, we can be children of his love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.